Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is game week. Richie, it has been the longest offseason that I can remember was probably that 2017 one where we opened up with Bama. 2014 seemed really long, but we were also the reigning champions at that point. So, and I guess still are the reigning BCS champions. So 2014 really didn't even feel that long because you at least got to, you know, have the fact that you were the champion. This has felt like the longest offseason ever. The expectations are insane. It felt like every single week just drug, but man, we finally made it. So hats off to us, honestly.
Yeah, man. In hindsight, that 2017 season, we probably should have known, but we were riding the Kool-Aid off of that, you know, that Michigan win, the Orange Bowl, which was a blast. But yeah, this offseason has been seemingly forever. And here we are now, literally a week from today, 7 days and an hour and 28 minutes away from kickoff in Camping World Stadium against LSU. I cannot wait this offseason. Honestly, for me, it seemed long, but it's kind of flown by a little bit. And here we are. I just cannot wait. It is going to be a blast here in Orlando, a few miles down the road from my house next week.
Yeah, No, it didn't feel like it blew by for me at all. No, looking back, it's like, you know, the days are long, but the years are short. I guess the same kind of aspect, right? Like every day was like, man, the season's never going to get here. And then you turn around and you're like, holy crap, the season's here. Got to enjoy some college football yesterday. Did you watch anything, Richie? Yeah. I watched the Ireland game. We'll be there in a year. I just
watched a little bit of Notre Dame and Navy just to see the stadium and everything where we'll be. And I made my wife watch a little bit and like, look at this aerial shot. This is awesome, right? But I didn't watch a whole lot more. You know, I've just been taking it easy this week. That none of the week zero games really stood out to me this year. It was nice to have college football back on the TV. Game day in a studio just didn't hit the same as when they're on campus somewhere. But yeah, come Saturday, I am all in. Well, actually, come Thursday, we got a big game with our friends down up in Gainesville.
Yeah, JV teams playing Thursday and Friday, Utah and Florida on Thursday, and then Miami takes on the real Miami of Ohio. Seems like
some that's what their quarterback said. Yeah,
around that game, some things happening. The battle for Miami. So yeah, excited for it. And then Saturday, Richie. I'm trying to get Richie to come out. But we've got some things cooking for Saturday night. I got a buddy that owns a couple of bars down there. We're going to have a little FSU takeover. We might have some special guests popping up there. So, drink specials if you're wearing your FSU gear, which I know if you're in Orlando this weekend, you're not going to take an FSU polo or jersey or shirt off. So that'll be fun. And then Sunday out of the tailgate. Tailgate tickets have been taken off. We're a little over. I knew that y'all would wait until the moment of. I think like 4 weeks ago, we had like 2 tailgate tickets sold. And now we will sell out this week. So if you don't get them this week, I can't help you at the door. Sorry about that. So make sure you go get your tailgate tickets in the description. But glad that college football is back, Richie. Glad that we got a little taste of it yesterday. I watched that Notre Dame game too. Wasn't very good, but did watch that game. Also, I did watch some good games later. Vandy Hawaii game wasn't terrible. There was some good stuff. I watched the UMass game. I liked some more. Jacksonville State. I know that we're still a little scarred, but they got their first win in the FBS.
Is Walt Bell still the coach at UMass?
No. Jacksonville State got an interception to like walk it off against whoever they were playing. First win in FBS. I saw Jackson State won. There was some good stuff on yesterday. So, all right, let's get after it. Hey, out there at the tailgate with us will be Guthrie's as always. I'm trying to pull some strings to get them to cook on site. So that would be cool. Just kind of a fun thing if they can do that. We'll also have the fries if they can cook on site. We have to pick it up and bring the chicken in. The fries get too soggy. It's not worth it. But if they're cooking out there on site, we can truly have our first double fries tailgate, not just kind of like fake double fries. We call it double fries and then don't bring any fries out. People get mad. So anyway, Guthrie's will be out there. Shout out to those fine folks. But let's get after it. Let's start with a little recruiting news. We're going to talk recruiting. We're going to talk a little bit about this Cal Stanford stuff that's going on. We'll talk about Mason Smith, how the NCAA is a bunch of cowards and spineless losers. And then we'll talk little LSU game. We'll do a full preview on Thursday night. So heading into that JV game of Utah, Florida, we'll do a Thursday night preview. I think our previews will typically be on Wednesday this year, just like last year. We're moving it up a day because we play a day later. So since we play on a Sunday, we'll do our preview on Thursday. That's with Blake of AYS Sports. And then we'll break down our season, how we see the season going. So Richie and I will go game by game, and we'll see how we like that. All right, let's get after it. Richie, little recruiting news. Florida State misses. That's kind of something different that we haven't said in a long time in the recruiting world. But misses on Zaquan Patterson, the four-star. Richie, look at Richie with his IPA, and I'm over here with this Natty Light. That was literally from the last tailgate against Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah.
But I've still got about a case left. I bought way too much. We will not run out of beer in Orlando. I just want to let you know that. Zaquan Patterson, four-star safety out of Miami, Florida, picks the Hurricanes in. Man, I want to be careful with what I say on here and how much we kind of give away, but really just one of the crazier recruitments and crazier kind of like backstories to a recruitment that I've ever heard. Shared some insight, shared some info in our Discord about that. But Florida State hasn't missed often, but they did miss here on Zaquan Patterson, and things kind of realign for them to look at some other DB targets. I think they'll stay on Patterson. I think they'll continue to recruit there. I've been told we'll see if his we'll see if folks close to him don't put sugar in his gas tank or not. But I've been told that the plan is still to get him to Orlando for the game this weekend, which I think would show you how soft maybe that commitment truly is. But Richie, they've also been really, really hot, and so I almost don't even know what to do with ourselves with them missing on a recruit yesterday.
Yeah, it just seemed like a weird final 48 hours to this recruitment, right? It looked like Florida State was the team. You know, there was talks about his coach wanted him to commit before the season, before his high school season, just to get it done. So was he rushed into it? I don't know. But this is one Miami had to have, right? They have been whiffing a lot. So for Florida State to whiff here, not a huge deal, especially on the heels of KJ Bolden committing to Florida State. That one is still massive, and it'll carry weight. But to your point, TJ, I don't think this recruitment is over. I think it was a placeholder commit, and you know, we see a lot of that. There might be some in Florida State's class that are simply placeholder commits for now, but this one definitely gives me those kind of vibes. So it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out leading up to December in National Signing Day. We'll see what Miami does on the field this year. If they have another 5-7, 6-6 type season, which with their schedule, they better not. That's an easy, easy schedule. But man, it'll be interesting. And you would have loved to have him in Florida State's class. So by no means did Florida State pass on this guy or anything like that. We wanted him, and we still do, and we will continue to push for him. Just a weird set of circumstances all around, TJ.
Yeah, I have talked a little bit about it again in the Discord. You guys should join over there. It is free to get into the Discord, and we would love to have you guys over there. But yeah, weird set of circumstances. And we'll see kind of how things shape up, how things go in the future, and what all of that looks like. Florida State is going to have a lot of recruits. Listen, I just want to address something real quick. Florida State wasn't third, fourth, or anything else. They finished second in this thing. It was Florida State until about, well, just say late on Friday night. So I'll say that, and then we'll move on. Florida State expecting a ton of recruits to come to Orlando. Not official visits because obviously they're not at home, but do think that there's a good chance that you see some of those guys from Shaman Abadana down there. I think you're going to have a lot of big-time recruits that pull up to this game. There's been talk about Xavier Mincy, who is a four-star defensive back out of Daytona Beach. You've got potentials of other Shaman Abadana guys down there as well. Patterson's one that I continue to hear about as well. I think Florida State is going to put themselves in a really, really good position if they can find a way to win this game, which we'll preview a little more on Wednesday. And actually, I'm going to pick the Noles, so I'll say that. I don't mean to say if they can find a way to win this game, but if they find themselves on the winning side of this game, they're going to put themselves in a lot better place with a lot of elite guys. Right now, Florida State has a top five class. And so what I do think is you missed yesterday, but you have a top five class. Florida's sitting at number three, and Miami's down at like 15. And I think that you want to somewhat be mindful of that and somewhat say like, hey, it stinks to miss, but Florida State's recruiting at an elite level, and they're going to take some big, big swings down the stretch here, and we'll see how they kind of finish up. But Richie, I'm excited, and we've talked about this. We've debated whether LSU or Clemson was bigger. What's going to be bigger for the season, for everything else? I think that I'm coming around LSU, man. I think it's the Tigers based on recruiting, based on how that sets up the rest of the season. I listened to JD Pakel this week on just how that things could get pretty tough down the stretch if you already have that one loss in your back pocket, or if you're playing with a clean slate. So anyway, I think I'll come around to you, but recruiting as well, a big part of it is what they could accomplish if they're able to beat LSU on a national stage on Sunday night.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that Florida State gets Hakeem Williams without beating LSU last year in New Orleans, right? That was a game he was at. It was a huge deal. And from a recruiting standpoint, Florida State kind of introduced themselves onto the national stage and said, hey, we're here. And, you know, a guy like Hakeem Williams, who was looking at Miami, Alabama, Georgia, he could have gone anywhere he wanted, but that game alone played a huge deal in his decision. And then the season, the way it played out, you know, obviously we had that 3-game skid, which was, you know, very frustrating because you could have won all three of those games legitimately, but finishing the season on a 6-game win streak, going 10-3, big wins over Florida and Oklahoma to end out the season, you know, that kind of solidified last year's class, but this year's class could be so much better. You know, they're in the top five right now. I don't know if they'll stay in the top five. There's a lot of big guys out there that Florida State is still, you know, in the running for, but it'll be interesting to see. And I think that we're looking at definitely a top 10 high school class, which is something Florida State fans have been looking for. And, you know, Mike Norvell every year just seems to check another box. He can't coach. He can't recruit. The portal's not sustainable. Well, he's proving everybody wrong every year that passes. And I think we got our guy. And yeah, this game against LSU is huge because if you win this game, if you go up to Clemson, you're not playing tight, right? You're playing, okay, we get a mulligan still, right? Yeah. Anyone who plays golf in the first hole, you always get two balls off the first tee. So that first shot is not a big deal. If you beat LSU, you're going to Clemson. You got nothing to lose at that point. And you're just going to play free. And I'm not saying it 12-0 is going to happen. We'll go over that actually a little later in this episode. But man, that game against LSU, if you pull that off, and we'll get into that a little bit, that is a huge deal for Florida State this season.
Yeah. My guy James with the super chat. Harlan, you still here with us?
You a recruit and you ain't going to Florida State. What are you doing?
We didn't show James's. Can we show it too? There we go. Do you have any reliable info about what turned Patterson at the last minute? So, James, I appreciate the love. I appreciate you hooking us up here. Yeah, I want to be careful with what I say here, and I'll be very transparent that, yeah, I was told by two really close sources to the program, to the situation, one to the program, one to the situation, that some somewhat shady stuff went down with the recruitment. I don't necessarily think that it was all money. I think that there were, I think probably the best way to say it is that there were folks in Patterson's camp that very much wanted him to be at Miami. There were folks in Patterson's camp that were very close with folks at Miami, and they did kind of whatever was necessary to make sure that he made that pick. I don't think that the convenient narrative is that anytime that a kid picks a school that's not yours, it's, you know, a bunch of NIL money or this, that, and the other. I don't necessarily think that was the case. I think that, Florida State offered Florida State was making a good NIL offer. I don't know that, you know, Miami has the money to compete with FSU right now in that space, now that Ruiz is kind of out of it, from what I've been told. But yeah, it seems a lot like there were folks around his camp that wanted him at Miami and were willing to do anything possible they could do. Shared a little bit more insight on our Discord. Not trying to force you to join that or anything like that, but that's probably the max of what I'll say, on here where 5,000 people are going to end up watching this live show. So if you want more than that, go join the Discord. That's not a sales pitch, I promise. I will give you a sales pitch here in a minute. We'll shout out Garnet and Gold. But that's all that I'm willing to say on a live public forum at this point. So, but James, go join the Discord and we'll jump in there. GarnetandGold.com. Make sure that you support the very best when it comes to FSU athletic gear, wear, and more. GardenGold.com, the very best in FSU apparel merchandise. You can use code NOSLAW, that's NOSLAW, for 15% off. We appreciate Garden Gold for all that they do. I do wish they were out there with us at the tailgate, but they are great folks. They do great work. We appreciate them for all of their support. Again, use code NOSLAW, that's NOSLAW, for 15% off. Again, GardenGold.com. Appreciate them for their support. If you haven't ordered yet and you're trying to get your order by the start of the season, make sure that you get that done like tonight, tomorrow. That way your order comes to you before you either get to Orlando or before the games kick off this weekend. All right, Richie, what do we got up next? Talking a little ACC conference realignment. There's a push by the ACC and by Cal and Stanford to add those two teams. Man, I'm hoping this doesn't happen, Richie, and I'm hoping that we can stop them. But I want to pitch this to you, and I'm going to try and fix my Wi-Fi here in a second. But I've heard some news that, like, Cal Stanford, like, it sounds good. They're going to take less money, but it's going to end up being, like, $3 million or something extra a team. Like, we're going to add these teams and give the ACC more of a stable footing and really no chance of dissolving. And it's going to end up getting us about $3 million more a year. You're certainly not closing the gap with anybody important with that. Richie, I'll let you roll for a minute while I try and fix some Wi-Fi, but you go ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? But, you know, I get why the ACC is doing it, because I think they fully expect Florida State, Clemson, potentially UNC, NC State, and others to leave the ACC. So they're trying to backfill on the front end while they still have time. I love the idea that, you know, Condoleezza Rice and George W. are making calls on behalf of some of these schools, SMU, you know, Cal, Stanford. I just don't think it does anything for Florida State. And one of the biggest things, you know, people don't realize, Stanford has like 37 sports that they play, you know, so and a lot of them the ACC doesn't have. So what do those sports do? Do they just compete as independents, or, you know, who knows? It doesn't do anything for football, which is all that matters, right? The only thing that conference realignment is about is the dollars that football TV contracts bring in. And that's why Florida State is going to leave the ACC. And I think they make that public before August 15th of next year. It's just, where will we land? Will it be the SEC? Will it be the Big Ten? I absolutely think it will be one of those two conferences. But the ACC and Jim Phillips, they're doing everything they can. So I can't really blame him or blame them. But I also love that Florida State is, you know, reportedly voting no on this, which is causing a holdup, because Florida State is going double middle fingers on their way out of the ACC. And it's something to keep an eye on. But I do think it's hilarious that Notre Dame, who has joined in every sport except for football, is lobbying hard for these two schools, as they should have any say at all, which they should not have any say at all. But it is what it is at this point. But yeah, I do expect both Cal, Stanford to get invites. Maybe SMU. We'll see what happens there. You know, SMU, they could come here for $0. They're not hurting for money, guys. That school has all the money in the world. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, you would hope that the ACC isn't this nearsighted, isn't this dumb, but again, that's probably beyond the realm of possibilities right now. This is probably, you know, I have no optimism. I have a lot of optimism on a lot of things about FSU. I have no optimism on this.
None.
Specifically. I think the ACC is probably going to do this, and, you know, probably not a lot that we can do. One of those schools like North Carolina State or whatever will cave. I said this on Friday's live as well. It'll be very interesting to see what Miami does. If Miami truly does vote this in, it obviously shows that they don't feel like they have a landing spot anytime soon. And that'll be frustrating for sure. But, you know, at least when we leave in a year or two, then, you know, we can know that Miami's staying behind and just going to rot in this cellar that is the
Yeah, one last thought. You know, and Jim Phillips, he signed up for an impossible job. You know, he's going to get all the heat right now. This is John Swofford's doing. His nepotism, signing a deal with Raycom, which his son was the president of, that was the undoing of the ACC. That grant of rights deal, which Jim Phillips had nothing to do with. You know, poor guy, he thought he could come in and save the conference. He had no chance. And, you know, unfortunately for him, he probably should have stayed where he was at Northwestern. Granted, he probably wouldn't be at Northwestern much longer with everything that's, you know, transpired there publicly recently. But yeah, this was a John Swofford special, the worst commissioner in the history of Power Five, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about the NCAA, how they screwed up this Mason Smith situation, just like they've screwed up the Daryl Jackson situation. Unreal that we are now in the NIL era, and I've seen this pointed out. This was not me. I'm not smart enough to come up with this, but I've seen this pointed out several times, how we are in the NIL era right now, and we are making rules retroactive. We're not updating rules to no longer be retroactive, only when it's about a kid transferring. When it's about a kid transferring, we post-date the rules forward. But when it's about a kid signing autographs for his name, image, and likeness, which is legal now. It wasn't a recruiting inducement. Mason's, obviously, you guys know this by now. I don't feel like I have to break the news to you all. But Mason Smith, not going to be playing in the game, suspended for week one. A self-induced, well, they chose which game it was, and they said it's going to be week one here. But a kid... It wasn't a recruiting inducement. It wasn't, you know, like he got hooked up with a car, or it wasn't like the Ohio State thing where they were like, you know, well, we don't have to go into all this stuff. Tattoos and strippers and everything else. It wasn't Miami. It wasn't UF that was killing people back in the late 2000s. This kid was signing autographs for money again. And we suspend him so he can't play in the game. Again, same people that won't let Daryl Jackson play, even though he has a sick family member at home. There's a lot of rumors going around in the chat right now. First of all, they're wrong. We'll get to that in a minute, but let's chill on the, you know, who's playing, who's not playing. I'm getting distracted just by the, that's not even true. So I don't know. Talk to a friend and it, you know, it's crazy. But anyway, y'all are distracting me. But crazy that Mason Smith not able to play in this game. You know, we heard a lot of excuses as to why Florida State won the last time, and we're unfortunately probably going to have to hear that again this year. But frustrating that the NCAA gets it wrong again, and here we are with more incompetence out of that organization.
Yeah, and as a friend of the show, David Hill, pointed out, Jabril Peppers will not be playing either, so that just takes away from if Florida State wins even more. But no, seriously, TJ, it's ridiculous that Mason Smith cannot play this game. And I don't know, there's been a lot of conflicting reports. We saw the one that said they got to pick which game. I have a hard time believing they would have picked Florida State and not week two, because there was another report saying that LSU was, you know, feverishly looking for a week zero game just to get the suspension out of the way so he would be available for Florida State. I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous that, as you mentioned, you know, let's be honest, Jameis Winston signed autographs and got to play. They denied, and that's fine. Johnny Manziel missed a half against a no-name school for signing autographs and making like $50,000 off of it. Name, image, and likeness is now legal. So why retroactively do this to a kid who is trying to put tape together, because he's going to the NFL next year, next April, May, he's going to be drafted in the first round. How high? A lot would have depended on a game like this. If he came out and dominated a decent Florida State offensive line, you know, all of a sudden he's got a lot of scouts watching his tape, looking at him, seeing what can he do. You know, am I happy that it makes it life easier a little bit on Florida State's interior of the offensive line? Sure, but I'd rather him play, because I don't want a kid to unjustly be suspended, even if it does help my team. I think that's ridiculous. I think the NCAA, Stan Wilcox, you're a coward. Same with the Bobby Miller situation. I loved my rant last year, and I stand by it. It's a joke. I'm sorry. Mason Smith should be playing next week here in Orlando, and it's a travesty that he's not, quite frankly.
Yeah, pretty frustrating. The NCAA continues to get it wrong, and I've said this a couple of times on here on this channel, so if you've heard it a few times, forgive me, but I'm going to say it again. Whenever I can hear a fun or good one-liner, I like to you know, get all my use out of it I can. But it's weird that the nerds in suits are the ones deciding who is and isn't going to play football. The guys at the NCAA offices, Stan Wilcox, can you know, I was going through my phone today, Richie. A year ago today, I took Elena to the Duquesne game, and so I was like looking back through old pictures. There's one right there from the Duquesne game. And so I just searched Tallahassee on my phone, and I'm scrolling through them. And you remember Willie Spring game when you were allowed to go down the field for like the concert or whatever, Vanilla Ice, yeah, whoever was there? I have a picture with Wilcox down there, and I was like, delete off my phone, you know, like as fast as I could. So, yeah.
That's fun. I got a picture with Wilcox up in Notre Dame after he had left us at South Bend when we played up there with I left at halftime of that game. But, yeah, I was like, oh, Stan Wilcox, that's my guy. And now I'm like, nah, not it.
No, like, gross. He didn't even make it through the full experience of the Willie Taggart 1 year, so screw him. All right, let's give a quick shout-out to Grahamco, thegrahamco.com. Whether you're looking for gummies, vapes, pre-rolls, listen, if you're wanting something for the tailgate, we'll have a bunch of stuff out there. But if you want to have your own and you don't have to rely on us, make sure that you get your order in either today, tomorrow, so that you get that stuff quickly. Thegrahamco.com for the very best in Delta 8 products. TJ25 will save you 25% off at checkout at thegrahamco.com. Appreciate them for their support. Again, we will see them out at the tailgate. Excited for the tailgate, Richie. I'm excited to be out there hanging out. Yeah. 1 week and 1 hour away from stumbling into that stadium. I might go in around six or so. Somebody, I don't want to say any names or something, but I might have gotten a little ticket hookup. So I might want to take advantage of some of the amenities inside of Camping World Stadium this year. So maybe I won't stick around as long. I'd probably be good for everyone involved if I'm at the tailgate less time than I was last year. So anyway, all right, finally game week. We talked a little bit about Mason Smith, the impact there. Richie, we have talked about this game just about every week leading up to this, but we finally have made it, and we finally can talk about it as though it's only a week away, which it is. Second to last game of the week. There is the game on Monday night as well, but second to last week of the game, entire nation watching. This game had insane ratings last year. I think it'll be better this year. That was an unranked game last year.
200 teams, yeah. Though,
right? But both teams obviously finished around the top 10 or in the top 10. This game and this hype around it, I wish you would have watched more college football yesterday, Richie, because every single game, every time there was a timeout, every time there was anything that gave the announcers a chance to talk about the upcoming schedule, they'd put their six games up, right? Like they'd have the Thursday night game, the Florida Utah, the Friday night, whatever they got there, Saturday TCU Colorado, and a lot of people want to talk about that. And then they'd have the Monday night, and they'd have us second, and then that, you know, whatever the Saturday night, whatever their big game is for that. The schedule's not very good this week, so I don't know. When they put those six games up, every announcer, every time, it didn't matter if it was like the sixth time that game, they would talk about Jordan Travis, they would talk about Jaden Daniels, they would talk about this game, and I think it's going to live up to the hype. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to break it down and do a full preview on Thursday night to get you ready for that JV game of Florida and Utah. But, Richie, do you have any – I mean, they're not even early thoughts anymore, and we've probably dissected this game to death, so maybe you don't have any thoughts on it, but – let's talk a little bit about this FSU-LSU game before we go on and start maybe mapping out some wins and losses this year.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't wait. It, like you said, last year both teams were unranked, and it was still pulled in over 7 million viewers, I believe it was. That's ridiculous. And this one is probably going to exceed 10-plus million viewers, which is ridiculous for a regular season game. But college football in the South, everybody loves it. But you're going to have people out in California, up in the Northeast, that normally don't care about, you know, Southern college football, all tuning into this game because, you know, I truly believe this is the first playoff game of the year. And whoever loses, crazily, is not eliminated from the playoff conversation because both teams are capable of running the table afterwards. It is just going to be a blast. I wish this game was in Tallahassee. You know, obviously I live really close to Camping World, so it's convenient for me. But man, if this game was in Tallahassee, a top 10 matchup against an SEC squad, that would be a blast. But yeah, the hype is very real. And, you know, all you're going to hear, they're going to mention it during the Utah-Florida game. They're going to mention it versus the Miami of Florida versus the Miami of Ohio game. They're going to mention it on game day. You know, obviously Desmond Howard picked Florida State to go to the playoff in during game day yesterday. There's just so much hype to this game. And I agree, TJ. I think it lives up to all of the hype.
So there's been a lot of questions about the who's playing, who's not playing. I would like to. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to slow this down. But I told you guys a long time ago about whenever fall camp started, I was told when fall camp started about how Fabian Lovett would be
management.
how they would manage him, how he would be limited in fall camp, and how they really were trying to not use him as much as possible to make sure that he was 100%, that he was healed up, that he was ready to go. And I think that's what they did. He didn't participate in Jacksonville. I know that he wore uniforms and pads into practice, but he wasn't participating. And that has increased. He actually has been participating this last week. I don't think he participated the full week, but he was a participant in the last half of the week at fall camp. I expect him to be full go this week, unless he's had some kind of a minor setback, or actually major setback at this point, that has happened like since practice was over. I'm being told that Fabo is going to play. I expect him to start the game. If he has a setback this week or something's happened, you know, twist his ankle, get out of the shower, whatever. I just haven't heard that yet. But for those, you know, asking about Fabo, I know that's a big question. And you saw the difference in how Florida State played with him without him last year. I fully expect Fabo to be in there. I don't know that I expect him to play a full-on game, but I don't think Florida State needs him to. I think they've got a lot of depth there at defensive tackle. Obviously, you'd like to have Daryl Jackson, but I think they'd want to keep guys fresh. And if LSU runs 65, 70 plays, you're going to have two guys there. I can't do the math in my head. I'm not even going to try. I've had half a Natty Light, and so I'm already toasted. But, I think you're going to need Farmer to jump in there. I think you're going to need Fisk to jump in there. I think there's a lot of guys that you're going to want to see in that rotation. And so I wouldn't have him playing the full game even if he was all the way ready to go. I think conditioning is a question. He hasn't participated as much in fall camp. I mean, that's certainly something that you want to look at. But as far as being 100% or healthy or ready to go, I don't really have a lot of concerns there. The people that I've spoken with in Tallahassee seem to think that he's pretty ready to go. There's a reason that he didn't participate in the first 2.5-3 weeks of fall camp, and he did participate the last half of this last week. I think Fabo's going to be ready to go. And again, unless there's been some kind of a setback that I just haven't heard through the last like day and a half. Now, I was doing a 5-year-old's birthday party all day yesterday, and so that maybe that did happen. But unless something crazy happened that I'm just not aware of, I'm pretty sure the plan is to have Fabo in there ready to go. Verse is locked in, ready to go. I don't think there are any injuries to anybody in the two deep that I'm concerned about right now. I'm very interested to see the depth chart that very likely comes out tomorrow. I guess I could see them putting it on Tuesday, since that'll technically be day one of the week because it is an extra day this week, playing on a Sunday. But I think depth chart will come out tomorrow or Tuesday. I'm interested to see what that offensive line looks like. That's probably where I'm most interested in seeing how things shake out. I think you know what you've got at running back, wide receiver, tight end. None of that's really a mystery. Secondary, I think you're pretty confident in what you got there. You're probably going to see some oars at the cornerback position. But I think that offensive line is one that I'm interested in seeing. And then other than that, I think it's you stay healthy this week and you go out and you take on LSU. So, Richie, thoughts on fall camp closing up, thoughts on, you know, LSU week, thoughts on Trey Benson breaking the rock. Whichever direction you want to take this, I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's just excited. You know, fall camp is over. The season is here. You know, this week, it's all about LSU game prep. I cannot wait. Trey Benson, you know, I kind of thought it'd be Jared Verse, but I love that it was Benson. And he even said that he was surprised himself that he was the one that was chosen to break the rock. But, man, with a loaded backfield like Florida State has, and for Benson to have that honor, that's awesome, right? This is a guy that when Florida State took him from Oregon – there was a lot of people shaking their heads like, man, this guy had 6 carries at Oregon, a devastating knee injury, and now he's probably the best running back in the ACC. I'm sorry, Will Shipley. I think Trey Benson is better, and it's just an exciting time to be a Florida State football fan. You know, every year since 2018 and on, it was just like, ah, man, can we get 8, 9, 10 wins? This is the first time since 2017 where we're actually thinking, man, we can do a lot more than we realize here, and it's exciting to think about. So let's get into this schedule, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, Rich, you said that like it's crazy because you don't want to get like so, you know, drinking all the Kool-Aid, buying all the hype, all these things. But like 10 wins is going to disappoint some people. Like just 10 regular season wins, if we go 10-2. We're going to say, man, what could have been if we just won one of those first two games in September? Or what could have been if we didn't have a letdown game against somebody else, right? Like, say you split there and then you lose to Pitt or one of the rivals or something like that, or Wake again, whatever. I'm not projecting any of that. We'll talk about records here in just a minute. But I think that, you know, what's crazy is we're at a point now where 10-2 would it would almost shock you, right? Not shock you, but you'd be upset at 10-2. And you remember last year, I think we were, man, do you remember what your prediction was last year? Were you at 8-4? I think I was at 8-4.
I think I was 9-3, actually.
Okay. I think you're a homer then, because I was feeling like a homer at 8-4. I think I had us beating LSU, losing to Louisville, maybe splitting with the rivals, losing to Clemson, and then dropping one more somewhere else, maybe NC State or something like that. So, yeah, I think I had us 8-4. Obviously, we bested that. But, all right, let me give some love to my buddy Alex Knapp, and then we'll keep this moving. Knapp accident injury. Listen, I've told you guys about my buddy Alex. He's a diehard Seminoles fan. He owns Knapp Accident Injury. It's a law firm specializing in car accidents, Uber, Lyft, personal injury, and more. You probably don't need him today, but if you do here in the near future, make sure that you give him a call. Again, diehard Seminole fan. He'll be out there at the LSU tailgate. We'll be hanging out. Let him buy you a drink. I don't know why I say that. The drinks are all free and they're all on me. So let him pretend to buy you a drink. If you have any questions, Alex takes care of each one of his clients. They get his personal cell phone. You don't speak with a case manager or a paralegal. He will take care of you. I'd say lock his number in right now, 813-568-3724. If you're in the state of Florida, you probably don't need him today, but you may in the future, and you will not want to be without that number if you do need him later. Alex Knapp, Knapp Accident and Injury, good buddy of mine, wanted to give him some love and shout him out. All right, Richie, let's do this. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Let me get this back over to the right scene. The joy of live thing. When your producer's on the road, it gets it tough. But 2023, the record prediction, we're going to go game by game here and roll through it. We've talked a lot about this LSU game. We're going to preview it even more this week on Thursday. So let's maybe go through quickly on this LSU one. We don't spend as much time, but what you got here?
Florida State wins, and I think it – the last 5 minutes of the game, you're not going to be sweating. I'll leave it at that, because we'll, like you said, we'll touch on this heavily.
I did enough last year for that, so that's fine.
Yeah.
yeah, I got Florida State winning going away. Again, we've talked about this. We've talked about LSU every single week of the offseason. You know, there's the false narrative that LSU just got better and better and better as the year went on. I just think that's not true. It also completely discounts the fact that Florida State got better as the year went on. And Florida State won 7 straight games to finish their season. They didn't limp across the finish line against teams like Arkansas. They didn't get blown out at the end of the year by teams like Texas A&M. They didn't go get 50 scored on them. Florida didn't get 50 scored on them by Georgia. So, you know, I think that you need the you need to kind of look at the full picture. I don't think LSU really went on this magical run at the end of the year like people thought they did. I think they beat Alabama in the middle of the year, and that's what people remember. And then they won their bowl game, which was a terrible game against Purdue. But they kind of forget that LSU really very much squabbled down the end and wasn't great. Mason Smith's a big impact being out. I think the Noles win this. I think they win it going away. I think they win this by like 10 points. I've tossed around scores, and I'll give an official score prediction on Wednesday, Thursday night, but I've tossed around like 31-21, and I think I'd be pretty confident with that. Somebody just mentioned it, 200 on the ground in 7 straight games. The offensive line is definitely better. Trey Benson didn't have a very big impact last year in this game. I think he had like 1 or 2 rushes. So I expect him to go off. I think Florida State's going to win going away. We're at 1-0. We're in agreement, Richie. Southern Miss up next. Boston College after that. I think that Boston College game's a little bit sneaky. Southern Miss is on a short week. But I got the Noles winning both of those there. We'll kind of combine them. I don't think we need
Yeah, they're going to win both games. You know, the Southern Miss game, I think, is the trickier one because, you like you mentioned, it's a short week. And, you know, Florida State, anytime we've opened on a Labor Day or a Sunday and with a quick turnaround, that game is always, for whatever reason, you know, it's tricky. But I do think Florida State wins both of those. And, again, in the fourth quarter of each of those two games, I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Yeah, I think maybe even at halftime, BC going up on the road, really easiest, but I think the Noles win going away up there. And then comes the big one. The big one in conference, Florida State, number 8, Clemson number 9 right now. We'll see what those rankings look like when we get to week 4. But Florida State travels to Clemson on September 23rd. Richie, I'll let you go first on this one. I took the Southern Miss Boston College ones. I gave you both the hard ones.
Yeah, man, it's been 10 years, 2013, since Florida State won up in Death Valley Junior. It's going to be a fun game. I'm just not sold on Cade Klubnik just yet. I think a lot of people are giving him his flowers way too early. He's got to show me something. I don't think they have much before then. And honestly, I think Duke could give them a run for their money at the Monday after Florida State and LSU play. I have Florida State winning this game. I just think the experience of everyone that Florida State has, the age, the average age of our starters has to be like 28 years old, right? These guys are AARP members. It's ridiculous. No, I do think Florida State wins this game. I thought they, outside of a really bad 8 minutes last year at the end of the first half and at the start of the second half, they probably should have won that game too. I think Florida State wins this game, and I think they leave September 4-0, and Florida State fans are feeling really good.
Woo, you're daring. All right, I don't want everybody to hate me, but I'm just going to say it. I've got Clemson winning this game until I see how week one shakes out. When we get to Clemson week, I very well may switch around and pick the Noles, win, loss, or draw against LSU. But as of today, I think I've got Clemson winning this game. I think that Clemson does a really good job of getting up for us. Even last year, I don't think they were a great team by any means, and they certainly came to play. Even DJ wasn't a good quarterback last year, and he even looked good against us. And so you're not going to catch them sleeping. You're not going to catch them napping against Florida State. Like, they're going to get up for that game. You might catch them sleeping against a team that they're not supposed to, right? Like a Syracuse or a Pitt or something like that. But I think that Clemson gets us in this game. Come out of September 3-1. Still a lot of excitement. Still a top 10 team. Clemson jumps you in the rankings. But I have the Noles dropping this one. I'll go first on the next one. You get the bye week. I've got us beating the bye week. And then you have Virginia Tech and Syracuse at home. Again, Richie, I'll do two here. Then we'll go solo the rest of the way out. But Virginia Tech and Syracuse, two of the worst teams in the ACC. You've got a bye week before Virginia Tech, I'm sorry. So even if you do lose to Clemson, win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. It could be as physical a game as you want. You've got 2 weeks off to prepare for Virginia Tech. Coming back home, I will tell you, if you're 4-0 going to that night game against Virginia Tech is going to be absolutely lit, and I'm going to that one way or the other. But I think you're 3-1 into it, but I think you win both these games. I think you beat Virginia Tech. I think you beat Syracuse. You get to 5-1. Last year, Florida State couldn't get to that fifth win until week 8. Remember, they were 4-0, then they were 4-3. Then they got to their fifth win against Georgia Tech in week 8. I think they get to their fifth win in week 6 this year. They back it up by 2 weeks. They get a win against Virginia Tech. I think they get a win against Syracuse. Both of them going away. I think the Noles are much better talent-wise. I think they're much better coached. I think Norvell will have them focused. Whether it's a heartbreaking loss at Clemson or a very emotional win, I love that the bye week is after Clemson. You can heal up from the physical wounds. You can also heal up from maybe some emotional wounds or some celebrating that you've done for the last week or so. I think it sets up really nicely. The Noles win both these games. So at this point, I've got them at 6-1. I can't imagine you have us losing to either one of these games.
No, both of these games are Jordan Travis second half ball cap and clipboard games, right? He's not going to be playing much of the second half at all because Florida State is going to have built a solid, solid lead. I'm not saying the hangman games like we saw in 2013 against Syracuse at Doak, which is still one of the funniest pictures I've ever seen. But yeah, but these two teams are just really bad. Florida State's going to win both of them. And then welcome Duke for a third straight home game. And I'll let you start off on that one, TJ, because I think this one could be tricky.
I think that if you don't show up and play your best game, and Duke does show up and play their best game, they could look at keeping this game close in the fourth. I still think Florida State is way more talented. And it would be the kind of thing where Florida State, I think, could play mediocre for three quarters. And if they just put in a good fourth quarter, they probably win it by 10 or so. I think they're that much more talented than Duke. The big problem is that confidence is a hell of a drug. And if you let a team that you're more talented than stick around and they start to get belief and they start to play harder than you and you start to play tight because you're supposed to be blowing them out and you're not, that's how upsets happen. And so I see a scenario where Duke could come in and win this game, but I don't think that happens. I think Norvell's done a great job of keeping this team focused. I think that, you know, if you go into this game with two losses, say you've lost to both LSU and Clemson, I could see them kind of being down at times and not feeling like there was a lot to play for. But I disagree with that. I think you still play for the ACC championship. You still play for a spot in the New York Six Bowl. You still play for that 5-10% chance that you get into the playoff with two losses. I think it's very small. But so as long as they're focused and they're playing well, I think that Duke just won't have enough, and Florida State will find this to be a pretty easy win. I don't know. I feel like Norvell does a good job of getting the team up for games. Do they have mistakes? Are they perfect? You know, yes, they have mistakes. No, they're not perfect. But I don't worry about them falling asleep at the wheel with Duke coming to town.
Yeah, and I don't want to compare this year's team to 2013, but I do think the mentality is going to be very similar. You know, Jordan Travis, Jared Verse, Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson, they all came back for a reason, and they're going to be ready to play every single week. Duke is a lot better than I think a lot of people realize. I think they should be preseason top 25. I'm a little surprised they're not. But again, it's a team Florida State should beat, and I fully expect them to beat them, especially with the game being in Tallahassee. There's no reason you should not lose that game. Yeah, Florida State's going to beat Duke, and then they go on to take Snuggie Hill. I'll start off here, TJ. Florida State fans are going to celebrate a win over Wake Forest like they've never celebrated before. These years, this has been ridiculous. It's been asinine what Wake Forest has done to us in these past few years. But it comes to an end this year. And my goodness, I don't know. You talked about that Notre Dame game. Sam Hartman, my goodness, is he good. Glad we don't have to face him this year. Florida State is going to beat the hell out of Wake Forest. And I hope Mike Norvell's running trick plays up 42-3 in the fourth quarter. And just we need this one. Because Wake Forest having our number as the way they have. Like, if you started as a student at Florida State in, I don't know, 2020 or 2019, I feel bad for you. Because Wake Forest was always an afterthought. Florida State wins this game.
Yeah, I think Florida State wins this pretty easily. I think that, you know, there's a lot of hurt feelings with Wake Forest in a lot of aspects. I think that just, you know, the fact that they beat you last year, they were the first team to knock you off in a game you just didn't look very good in. NC State, like, I thought Florida State should have beat the NC State game. I'm going to eventually stop bringing that up. But Florida State should have beat NC State. You let it get away. You really were toe-to-toe with Clemson, and except for that, you know, eight-minute stretch that Richie mentioned. But I think Wake Forest was the one team that kind of just beat you soundly. And, you know, even though you made it a one-score game late, I just don't think you ever really had a chance in that one. They dominated you really through the first two and a half, three quarters, and then kind of made it close late. I get it. But they did whatever they wanted. And so I think that there's some upsetness about that. There's some upsetness about how, you know, Wake's coach acted last year with the hurricane and everything that was happening that week. And, oh, we're not going to put our kids in danger and this, that, and the other. And then there's been some frustration with how Wake has handled this conference realignment stuff from their fans. So I think there is going to be some, you know, it's funny to say it, but some celebrating after Florida State beats Wake, and I do expect it to happen pretty handily. I like the Noles to win going away here against Wake. It's tough to predict a team that's beat you like six or seven times, you know, how many times in a row, like Richie just mentioned, three or four times, to go up there and win by, you know, double digits. But yeah, I'd take the Noles by like 17 in this at least, and that's before I've seen, you know, the first seven games of the year. So, all right, this is a tough one. This is a tricky one, Richie. I'll answer it first, but you've got on the road at Pittsburgh November 4th. You know, weather's a concern here. You never know what that's going to be like in Pittsburgh this late in the year. Thankfully, it's early November, not late November, which I didn't really have a big fear of that since you obviously play the Gators in North Alabama late. But November 4th, on the road at Pittsburgh, I think they're an incredibly well-coached team. I think they're a super physical team. I like them a lot. But again, I think this is a situation where Florida State has too much talent, and whatever's on the line at this point, say you have two losses and you're playing for the conference, you know, playing to get back to Charlotte, or say you have one loss or no losses and you're still playing for the playoff, I think Florida State's just going to be incredibly focused at this point. And I just don't see a way where Norvell lets them lose a step here against Pitt. I think that Pitt is a good team. I just don't think they have enough talent to stay with Florida State this year with what they've lost. I don't really worry about Phil Jurkovec coming over from Boston College. I think Florida State's kind of had his number. Might be the first time we've seen him healthy, if he can stay healthy until November. But Pitt doesn't worry me a ton. It's certainly a place you could slip up, but I think the Noles stay focused to find a way to win this game at Pitt. I think it's an ugly game, uglier than you want. The Noles win by 9.
Yeah, man. This is the game I have circled. Like I said, that Wake Forest game means a lot. I don't know if anybody on this roster has beat Wake Forest. And I think you beat them handily. And all of a sudden, you got Miami next week. And, what happened at Miami last year is great. But this seems like a trap game. And I think this is the one week where Florida State slips up. And, the weather doesn't scare me a whole bunch. I think the average low on November 4th was 43. The average high is around 54 in Pittsburgh. But that's just an extremely well-coached team. They're very physical. I think this is the one game where Florida State slips up. And I have Pitt winning this one, actually.
Ooh, all right. So we both have us at this point with, three games left. We're both 8-1, right, with three games left. We'll see if we can win it out the rest of the way. You mentioned the Miami game from last year. Listen, it's so hard to project what teams are going to be. I saw the report from Kane Sport that Tyler Van Dyke is already banged up. And I remember Mario Cristobal playing him injured against us last year. So it won't shock me if his fractured finger and the rest of his body is out there playing against Miami of Ohio on Friday night, because I know that Mario likes to ride his guys into the ground. You think about the Trey Benson injury, where the list goes on with that clown show. But I think the Noles win here. I think they're just the talent gap is too much. I think that Van Dyke, if he can stay healthy, if Mario doesn't drive him into the ground, will probably have a better year this year than he had last year. But that's a big if. Mario obviously already going to play him week one injured, it seems like. I think that the Noles are better than Miami. I think they have less holes. I think Miami still got a lot of talent on their team. I don't expect it to be 45-3 or whatever this year. I think it'll be maybe half of that, maybe a little closer there, maybe 31-14 or something. But I think the Noles win this comfortably, win it going away, and move to 9-1.
Yeah, and the one big positive we've heard about Miami is their offensive line room. I do think they will be very good there, but Florida State's very good on their defensive line. Mario Cristobal, he was not hired by Miami as a game day coach. He was hired to recruit elite talent. He's done a decent job at that, but not to the level they hope he would. And Florida State's just a better team, better players. I don't know where you would give Miami an edge anywhere on the field. Florida State is going to win this game. Like you said, TJ, it won't be 45-3. It might be like a 34-17, 34-21 type game. Florida State wins this game. I'm not worried about Miami at all.
Yeah, feel good about this. North Alabama, I'm not going to spend a lot of time.
Yeah, that's a win.
That moves on. I watched them last night. They weren't very good. I suspect they'll be even worse against Florida State. Rich, you got the same thing, I assume. No trip ups there.
Yeah, that's an easy win.
But. All right, and then we had two Gainesville. All right, so I think we both have us winning this game against the Gators. But so let's do that. I mean, we both have us winning this. Is it as close as last year, or do the Noles kind of blow this one open? What are your thoughts here?
Being in the swamp, I don't know. I think Florida, honestly, they could have 4 or 5 wins heading into this game, and they may have mailed it in on the season. So unless they surprise a lot of people and win games they shouldn't win, I just think there's a lot of hype for Graham Mertz outside of Gainesville, and nobody else anywhere in the country is buying that. Like, the Wisconsin people are laughing at the idea that Graham Mertz could be a competent college quarterback. I'm just not concerned about Florida at all either. And, we think about games like 2013, 37-7, Florida State. You think about going to the Swamp. That's a really tough place to play when they're good. When they're not good, that's not a tough place to play. We saw Dalvin Cook in 2015 run all over them when Roberto Aguayo kicked the game-winning field goal the first quarter of the game in that 27-2 game. I'm not concerned about Florida at all. And this might get clipped, and I might go viral for this, which is fine. But Florida State is the much better team, and they are going to beat Florida. It probably won't be a blowout similar to the Miami game, maybe 31-23, something like that. Florida State beats Florida.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that, they hang a lot of their hat on the fact that they kept it close last year. And I think that, it's kind of unfortunate that they did. Florida State took a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, and then their defense kind of let them down a couple of times, and they couldn't find a way to extend that. But the only reason it was close in the first half is because a couple of blown coverages. You move some defensive backs around, in the second half, and you were able to kind of clean all of that up pretty easily. So I think Florida State wins this going away. Again, I don't know that it's 45-3, but it wouldn't shock me if Florida State won this game by 17. I think that Florida State's defense is going to be a lot better this year. I think that Florida's offense is going to be a lot more one-dimensional. I think that, you know, you lose AR, that kind of takes away the threat of the run pass at the same time. You kind of know a little bit more of what you're getting with Florida's offense this year. I think the Noles win it going away. So we both have 11-1, Richie. 11-1, both going to Charlotte. I would assume, I guess, well, yeah. At that point, like, there's no way that somebody else is in. Well, I guess if Pittsburgh's run the table, then that could screw us. But you got
Pittsburgh. Well, I had to speak to Clemson, so we're in.
Oh, yeah, you're good. You're good. Here, let's give some love to my guy Shane here. Shane says, well, let's play a little noise here for him.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Noles win. Noles win.
Tyler Van Dyke already banged up and the season hasn't even started. Yeah, so reports out that he has a fractured finger. Actually, the report said his thumb. My guy down in Miami says it's a fractured finger. It's not his thumb.
And real quick, TJ, I logged into my Bovado account, and Florida State is currently favored by 9 on the road at UF and favored by 15 at home against Miami. So we're not talking crazy here, guys. This is the reality of the state of Florida right now.
Also, if the feds are listening, he's got a Bovada account, y'all. Go get him. So, yeah.
Don't check my Venmo.
I take the Noles in both those spreads right now. I take the Noles 15 and I take the Noles 9. Like, I would take both those. So, I don't think that's crazy. You beat the Gators by, you know, they rest a lot of their laurels on the fact that they kept it a 7-point game last year. And it's just like, well, that's embarrassing to be proud of that. But, you know, congratulations. I'm happy for you for keeping it close. So, yeah, I really like somebody asks, is there a spread with Pitt or is that one?
Not yet.
Yeah, I'd assume the spread with Pitt's like Florida State minus 4.5. I can Google that. Football odds, that's super early and it's not like a rivalry. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's not up there yet, but I just Googled real quick to see if I could find this. Yeah, I don't see it posted anywhere just yet. I could be wrong on that, but it's not a rivalry, so a lot of times that stuff doesn't
happen.
Super early. I'd like the Noles. If you gave me the Noles minus probably anything up to a touchdown, I would like it.
Yeah, 6.5, I'm good. Yeah,
Pittsburgh's got the 7th best champion, like odds to win the ACC. Their over-under is 7, whereas Florida State's is 9.5. So Florida State's going to be a slight favorite there. I just don't know exactly what the number is. Anything 7 or less, I would certainly take. So, all right, Richie, we both got 11-1. You've got us in the ACC championship rematch with Clemson. You got us winning that too? Or you got somebody else sneaking in there?
I mean, Louisville, someone just commented, Terrell Medlock. Yeah, Louisville's schedule sets up really nice for them to make a surprise appearance in Charlotte. I think it's going to be Clemson. But if we beat Clemson, as I predicted, and they drop another game, what a gift for Florida State that would be, because there's nobody outside of Clemson in this entire conference that worries me. I know I have us losing to Pitt, but I think that's more of circumstances than it is coaching or talent or anything along those lines. Yeah, man, Florida State, I'll just say 12-1, and they are in the college football playoff official prediction.
Oof. Yeah, I think they lose to Clemson regular season. They beat them in the rematch. So give me the Noles in Charlotte to end up getting the dub there. And, college football playoff will be 12-1. It probably won't shake out like that just because I've said it now. 13-0. But, I like the Noles to find a way to get there. They just have too much talent. And, you know, there's a lot of people buying FSU right now. At the end of the day, if Florida State's to go 10-2, 11-2, win the ACC, make a New Year's Six Bowl, finish up 12-2, certainly won't be upset by that, especially considering we won 5 games 2 years ago. But I think they've got enough talent to go out and do it. I think they've got enough talent I wouldn't even say shock some people, but, you know, go finish what they started last year. So, all right, Richie, any closing thoughts, anything else, any shout-outs before we get out of here?
Game week, baby. I cannot wait. Literally, we are 1 week and 30 minutes away from the kickoff in Camping World Stadium. Guys, go get those tailgate tickets right now, because like TJ said at the start of the show, it is going to sell out. That if you were there for the Oklahoma game, it was a blast, but that was just a small taste of what this one is going to be like. I absolutely cannot wait.
Going to have a blast out there at the tailgate. Come hang out with us. Listen, we talked about some things that we shared more info on in our Discord. You can get access to that by clicking the description. The link is there. We will do a preview with Blake from Are You Serious Sports on Thursday night. I think 7 p.m. is what we've talked about, Richie. 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night. Shout out to my my Clemson friends that are in here checking us out. They watch all our content. They check us all out. Thank you guys for hanging out. Thank you all for tuning in. Finally, game week. Richie, we've made it. Cheers. Excited for that. If you're not already, do me a favor and hit that subscribe button. We haven't bugged you with the ask for subscribers the whole show. We just hit 1 hour. Go hit the subscribe button. We appreciate it a ton. Hey, 7 o'clock, my buddy CJ Wilson is doing a show right now. If you search Doak Talk, D-O-A-K, Doak Talk, here on YouTube, Doak Talk FSU football, Doak like the stadium. You guys know. Go check out his show. It's live right now, 7 o'clock. Go right from here to there. If you enjoyed this FSU football talk, you will love his show as well. Throw him a follow. Throw him a subscribe as well. Let's get his subscribers up as season is getting underway. Thank you guys for hanging out. We did this in just about an hour, so hats off to me and Richie and Harlan as well. So love you guys. Talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.